This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Hello and good morning. 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 21st of November. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han here with me this morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back after the public holiday. Did you have? Did you sleep the day away, or what did you guys do? Do you anything fun?
We had a public holiday yesterday because I spent all day working. So not much of a public holiday here. Yes, I'm trying to get some sympathy points, so send them my way.
What about you, Joyce?
I hung out with the kids.
But family comes first.
Yeah, in the lead up to the public holiday, though, went up to Genting with my friends, impromptu trip visit for my friends. Birthday. Yeah, I know. They said they wanted to do steamboat up in the highlands. So random. But because birthday boy's request, we're like, okay. So we went.
You are such a good friend.
But it's so packed, you know. It's amazing. We went up Monday evening. Oh, it was full.
All right. Well, steamboat in cold weather. Oh my God, I can think of nothing better, but except maybe sleep, which is I did yesterday.
Well, good for you, Mel.
All right. Stay with us today as you get back into work today. We're going to get you up to date on everything you need to know as you start your day. But we're going to kick off this show with a look at several interesting stories that came to our attention yesterday. We're going to be looking at Victoria's Secret. Now, the fashion show, the Victoria's Secret fashion show has become a cultural staple, so much so that we know all the models that are about to come out and the performers every year. But there's been signs recently that this brand, the Victoria's Secret brand, is no longer consistent. That it's no longer representative of what women want. And we're going to be looking at why.
Right. Now, also, I'm going to focus on public donations. Now, sometimes some of us donate money to the causes we believe in. But if a politician or the organization, you know, that you have supported, all of a sudden, you know, says or does something you might not agree with, should you be allowed to ask for your money back? That is the topic for consideration in just a bit.
Okay. Also, did you guys see the video going around of a man who arrests a beer promoter at a supermarket? Because I think that caused quite a whole uproar online.
That's gone viral on social media. Seriously.
So, lots of talking points there. But I think one of the questions is also whether or not is this how we handle bullies?
All right. Lots of things to discuss in the next hour. Make sure you stay with the Morning Run in just a few minutes. We're going to take a look at why Victoria's Secret is losing share to other brands. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 21st of November. Eric Clapton there, It's in the Way That You Use It. Melissa, Joyce and Han keeping you company this morning. And I came across this article on the Wall Street Journal, guys, a couple of days ago. The title was Victoria's Secret, Sex Isn't Selling. And that immediately got piqued my interest and I clicked on it clearly. And what I learned was, I think in the past few weeks, I think the attention had really been on Victoria's Secret and why it hadn't been doing so well. So what was once seemed to be a trendsetter in the world of women's undergarments, now the company is facing tough times. Sales are down. In fact, I think retail is so weak that they've had to offer like big discounts just to get their stock moving. Third quarter results saw a net loss of $42.8 million. You compare that to a year earlier, they were making $86 million in terms of net income. And the share price has tumbled about 40%. So I guess that bodes looking into why, right? And they've had a couple of PR kerfuffles in the past couple of weeks, but the crux of the matter is this brand no longer represents what women want. And I thought that was really interesting because, you know, Victoria's Secret is a brand that everybody knows. Even if we don't buy it, it's not maybe widely available here in Malaysia, but everybody knows it and knows the fashion shows, know the skinny models that come down the runway in the stilettos and the wings. But why is it no longer resonating with women?
I think because it's, I mean, to me personally, it's not very relatable. I don't know, right?
Yes, I agree. I don't think it's relatable at all.
Yeah, when you look at the models, you're like, wow, but then that's not really me. And that's not, you know, where I am today.
Like, I think it's because Victoria's Secret has made an entire business of selling this fantasy to men. And, you know, while that may have worked in the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, in 2018, on the back of hashtag Me Too, is it still relatable?
Right. And, well, one thing I've learned when it comes to this industry is that, now correct me if I'm wrong here, that, you know, women perhaps buy lingerie not so much for the men, but for themselves. That's what we've been, well, that's what I've been told, right? But then, you know, just going back to the public image of Victoria's Secret, yeah, judging by the comments, not just by the two of you, but also the women who are quoted in this New York Times article, yeah, no, it's no longer relatable, right? And the idea that the a woman's identity is just wholly wrapped up in her sensuality and outward sensuality at that, and as evidenced by a lingerie brand, that idea is slowly being chipped away at.
Yeah. And I think what I liked about this story is that, you know, this is an example of consumers voting with their wallets, right? Mm. If a brand no longer speaks to you, no longer represents your values and your ideals, then go ahead and move somewhere else. And we've actually seen that. So ratings for the Victoria's Secret fashion show plunged 30% last year. Also, a consumer study by Wells Fargo showed that almost 70% of respondents said they liked Victoria's Secret less than they used to because they think the brand is false or fake. So they're taking their money elsewhere and they're buying cheaper and more comfortable undergarments. So the lesson to be learned here is that, you know, being consistent with your brand is not necessarily a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And you need to evolve with the times. I also think that it's because of, you know, this whole health working out trend. Everyone's into their whole Lululemon's
or Athleisure, is that what they call it?
Yeah, and the sports bras and all that. Again, like you say, Mel, it's about comfort, right? And looking at Victoria's Secrets, I think about like push-up bras and all that, and that's not very comfortable.
Yeah, and it's, you know, yeah, you're right, it isn't, and it's targeting, I think it's tailoring to this fantasy of men. And I have to say, I've changed my shopping habits as well. You know, shopping at more, I guess, shopping for more comfort as opposed to living up to that ideal, that fantasy.
Right. And I think also from a business perspective, right, I think a brand's values and messaging and even brand activism, you know, there's a much bigger niche or space in the market for these kind of brands now. So it's no longer just the product, but what's the story behind the product? Because one of the things that have risen, given the fall away that's seen in Victoria's Secret, is the rise of these different lingerie or undergarment brands that, again, cater to the comfort of women. And it's more relatable and it's born out of the frustrations from the industry, right?
They heard the women speak and then they're like, we're going to tap into this market. Have you used that? Have you ever... Have you ever used the power of your wallet to vote with for your values and your principles, right?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, right? So that in itself, it's not new, but to have it associated with this behemoth of a brand like Victoria's Secret, right? I think that is very, very telling. Going back to some of the drop or the numbers that you mentioned there, Mel, so I found this amusing. So you mentioned that fashion show, right, with the Victoria's Secret, right? So last year, okay, that Victoria's Secret fashion show actually drew in fewer viewers than a replay of the holiday classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Whoa.
And I must say,
reality check.
Given those two options on TV, yeah, I'll go with Rudolph as well.
Yeah, I would much rather watch a wholesome family show.
And also, who are the viewers? Were they female or male, right? And you know, it's because females are the ones who are actually going out to go buy the product.
Yes, exactly. Han, were you watching? That's the question. All right, we're going to be looking at whether there should be a refund policy for donations. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, coming up to 20 minutes past 6 o'clock. Melissa, Joyce and Han here this morning. And that was Green Day with Warning. All right, so we're taking a quick look at remarks at Walmart, because Walmart is asking a US senator to return a recent campaign contribution for her because of her remarks. So the question we're asking this morning is whether there should be a refund policy for donations.
Yeah, so coming back to what the US senator said, okay, keeping in mind this happened in the state of Mississippi. Mississippi had, so looking at some numbers, right, between the years 1882 and 1968, the state of Mississippi had the highest number of lynchings or racially motivated lynchings of black people during that history. So against that historical context, here's what the U.S. senator actually said. She said, well, she basically made a joke about these lynchings, right? And she said, I quote, "If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row."
Oh my God.
Yeah, so he being the Democratic challenger that she's up against. Now, where does Walmart come into this picture? So a couple of days before this video surfaced of this U.S. senator making that remark about the public hanging, right, they had actually donated some $2,000 to this Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, right? So now the video has surfaced. So they're saying, well, we want our money back because this does not represent our values and, our values as a corporation, right? So the question here is that, not, should the bar be raised on donations? Now, personally, I think so, right?
What do you mean the bar be raised?
So in other words, like, you know, you really got to think long and hard before you actually make these public political donations, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, now you've got this issue here whereby Walmart doesn't want to be seen as being endorsing these kind of comments, right? So obviously there's reputational risk here. But then is it a little bit too late, right? Because, you know, all of, well, the donation has obviously been made. And, you know, does anything the senator say or do, does it actually change your political stance, right? You know, and should it be that flippant? In other words, you know, hey, in Malaysia, you call it apa, buruk siku lah, right?
No,
it's not buruk siku?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Oh. It is buruk siku, okay. But I don't agree that it is. Because, look, I think if Walmart did nothing, that would be even more damaging to the brand, right? Because, look, you're right. Maybe you know, it's too far gone. The money's been spent, perhaps, right? To kind of ask for a refund on a political donation may not make sense. But to sit by and say nothing while this comment was made by a politician that you had endorsed, I think Walmart did the right thing in asking for a refund, or at least making public their dissatisfaction with the comment.
Yeah, definitely, because they're kind of tied to her in a way. Because you said that when they gave the donation, I guess everybody would have known about that. So also another question for this would be, should there be a refund policy for donations, right? Because you're saying that you've given a donation. Now, is it too late to take it back? Or should there be a clause when you give a donation that, oh, I'm giving you this money, but, you know, this is in support of your this, but, you know, it's I do not endorse, you know, racist remarks and all that. Should that all be in the clause?
Okay, yeah, no, certainly. And that has been the discussion for this whole segment to begin with, right? But then, okay, look, it's very hard to defend these racist remarks, right? But let's say we broaden out that discussion and, you know, say the political candidate or the political party actually does something that, you know, doesn't suit your agenda, you know, so it can be policies related. Then where do you draw the line between what's an acceptable refund request and what is not, as opposed to money in, gone, bye-bye?
So, for all of those who donated to Tabung Harapan, if you don't like the performance of the current Pakatan Harapan government, would you be asking for a refund?
Right, you know, basically, right? Because I'm sure many people, because look, going into any election, right, you're obviously pinning your expectations, your hopes, your vision of events on this particular candidate with the potential and with the hope that they will deliver, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, after the fact, then things go awry, you know, say, for example, everything from the Kazana clear out, people not happy with that, to Mazli Malay or whatever have you, okay? You know, you can easily find that excuse, though. You know what I mean? So at what point does the excuse become justifiable, i.e., okay, you know, racist remarks, versus, you know, I don't like that policy, I want my money back.
And also, when you give a donation, is there, like you say, is there, should there be something tied to it? Or you give it freely, like free, like, I'm giving you this, go do whatever you want to do with it. Or, you know, go whatever your messaging is, post the donation, I have no say.
Right. So I think,
to be honest with you, Han, I think that it's money spent, right? It's money, that money's gone. You can't, the sunk cost already. But I think what is more damaging is something you brought up, the reputational risk.
Right, there we go.
Yeah, so the minute that you do something like this, don't think you're going to be able to win that person's donation again, that person's vote again. Yes, whatever's done in the past, that vote, that donation, that's gone. But remarks like that, I think, is too much of a reputational risk that you won't be able to get by a second time.
Right, which actually brings me back to my original point then. You know, I think the bar should be raised before you actually make these political donations because of these risks, right? So, you know, in my opinion, right, you really got to think long and hard. Once you put that money towards that political cause, that's it. It's the political parties now. That tie then, you know, because I can understand Walmart wanting that refund, but, you know, once you give that money and you're donating to that cause, it's seen as implicit support of that particular candidate, right? So it's going to be very hard to disassociate yourself there, because if you do that, then it's a slippery slope, right? Mm. So my original point being, you really got to think long and hard, raise that bar, as opposed to being perhaps so flippant with your political donations.
Well, tell us what you think. Do you agree with Han? Do you think there should be a refund policy when it comes to donations, and should that bar be raised higher? 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to hear from you this morning. We've got the 6:30 news bulletin coming up in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:41 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run. I've got Joyce Goh, Tan Chung Han here with me. I'm Melissa Idris, and you just heard Steve Winwood with Valerie. Send your messages to us this morning. Come get in touch with us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Shout out to Michael, Michael KK59. That's his Twitter handle. And he was responding to our question a little bit earlier about, you know, the Walmart asking for a refund from their political donation after they disagreed with comments made by a senator there in the US. And Michael says that just like a friend asking you for help, if you borrowed, you can lend money to that person if you wish. Otherwise, just reject it, because expectation of a repayment always ends with disappointment. I feel like that was such a sad tweet. Michael, is that coming from a sad place or a sore spot there?
Right. Well, you've got Ro also messaging in via WhatsApp, you know, wondering how much it would cost to repaint an entire aircraft after it was painted to support a political party and they lost and you had to make a sudden U-turn.
Ooh.
I wonder if he's speaking about somebody named Tony.
It's pretty obvious. This row is very cheeky. It's getting quite a reputation as being a cheeky person.
Right. I mean, so there we go, right? So obviously, you know, we have Tony Fernandez then having to deal with the fallout because of that decision, right? So in my personal opinion, there should be no refund policy. Raise that bar higher. Think hard before you pledge support, be it monetarily or any other form of support for any political party.
Like, raise your standards. Let's not settle for less.
Your vote is important. Your support is important, right? Don't waste it.
All right. Well, but keep those messages and tweets coming our way. We want to hear from you this morning. And also a video that went viral yesterday was this bully, this man bullying a beer promoter in a grocery store. And that has kind of gone viral to the point now they've identified the man and netizens have started shaming the guy's kids. So Joyce, you bring us the story.
That's right. And actually, when you watch the video, actually, I personally was pretty amazed by how the beer promoter, how she kept her cool.
All right, have you guys all watched the video? So have you watched the video, Han?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you watched the video, Mel?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, like, how the beer promoter, how she kept her cool throughout the whole way, you know, it got me thinking, right? Like, how do you keep your cool when things go wrong? I mean, she was so calm and
she
all that.
She was calm, wasn't she?
Especially the comments that he was saying towards her. That's one. And also, what got me thinking as well was the what happened after that when he posted it online. He posted the video online and netizens that got a lot of people upset. Mm-hmm. And they actually tracked down his details to his the details of his children and all that. And that got me thinking, right? Like, how come instead of... Well, of course, we're all upset with him. But why pick on him? Like, go, why search out his kids and all that, who, to me, I feel are innocent, as opposed to just applauding, I mean, celebrating how the beer promoter handled the situation. You know, we should talk about that more. And of course, we should talk about the bullying, but that's just him, right? Why expand that to his kids and all that?
I think it was essentially this kind of, you know, tit for tat mentality, right? That happens online. Yeah, you see someone bullying, you know, the beer promoter, and then that leaves it open. Oh, I can bully you back. You know, so that kind of tit for tat mentality, I think it's not right, but I do see where they're coming from. And absolutely right. I mean, look, anyone's children, that's off limits. That is completely off limits. So I think that while you can disagree with this man for his approach to this young woman and, you know, costing her for doing her job, essentially, I think that the behavior of some of these cyber bullies, I think that's crossed a line for me.
Right. No, there's a line to be drawn between, say, a cyber bullying versus, well, actually, I don't know, the lines are blurred, actually, between being a vigilante there versus a cyber bully.
Not really. I think that's a clear distinction.
Yeah? Yeah, you think so?
Clear distinction. See, you can be a vigilante. Vigilantism is when you take the law into your own hands, right? What he was trying to do to this beer promoter was shame her when doing her job.
Sorry, I was talking about not about him.
Oh, the cyberbully.
Yes, yeah. So, talking about the other side there. Anyways, so the Deputy Education Minister, Teo Ni Cheng, you know, has actually come out to say as well, look, the kids are off limits here. You know, if you want to vent your anger, you know, direct it at the source, that being the individual. And I think the cops are looking for him as well. So, kudos to them. And also, kudos to the girl, right, for really keeping her cool there. But you know, when you look at the kind of you know, raw emotions, I mean, obviously this episode has touched on a very, very raw nerve here in this multicultural Malaysia, right? So you've got this pent-up anger that is just waiting to be unleashed, and you know, the best you can do is try and look up the details and just try to get as much dirt on this guy, right? Obviously it's gone too far to the kids, right? So you know, I think it's being mindful about that line between, you know, being a cyberbully versus calling someone out for the reckless and ignorant behavior.
We're just speculating here, but what do you think people are really angry about?
The presumed you know, superiority over, you know, between races here in Malaysia, I think that is what people are ultimately angry about. Obviously, that alcohol sample that's been given out in the non-halal section of a supermarket, mind you, was just seen as a catalyst. But it's, like I said, you know, strikes this raw nerve, and that underlying issue being the perceived disparity between the races here.
Yeah, and also the way he, to me, was the tone. The way he was speaking to her. I mean, if he's just gone up to her and said, "Oh, why are you selling?" You know, perhaps that could be better. But the way he went up to her and accused her of, "Oh, who are you selling this to? Are you selling to?" And then she explains herself in English, and then he gives another shot and says that, "Oh, ini bumi Melayu," and he asked her to you know, speak in Malay, and she actually was so cool about it and asked him, "Are you a racist?" And after that, you know, and I think she mentioned something in Chinese as well and said that, "If I'm speaking in Chinese, does that make me not a Malaysian?" So it's just, for me, it was his tone and how that, and after the video, you can see that actually there was a lady and a kid in front of him, but I'm not sure whether that was his family, whether or not he was with his family, or whether or not he did that act in front of kids. I'm not sure. I mean, just putting it out there, but yeah.
I have to say, I'm really troubled by the rise of this racial sentiment that I'm seeing on social media in this last few months. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but I have certainly noticed it, that comments, this has always been part and parcel of Malaysian, you know, the Malaysian politics or, you know, Malaysian online culture. You always tend to get, it skews racial very, very quickly. But I'm just seeing this rise of a racial sentiment in everyone's most people's comments, in most people's reactions. And it's troubling to me because I feel it more in this past weeks. And I think this is something that we need to address, that small matters like this can very quickly escalate and take a really strong racial connotation that it becomes divisive. And that for me is very, very worrying. What we're going to do is come back and talk about this story. We want to hear from you. I'm sure you've seen that video making the rounds on social media too. What are your thoughts? What do you think people are really upset about? 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Let's Dance by Chris Montez there. Hello and good morning. If you've just joined us, this is The Morning Run. Han, Joyce and Mel here with you. 6:54 right now. And thank you for your WhatsApp messages. They're coming in hard and fast. 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about that video that went viral yesterday about the man bullying or harassing a young woman who was promoting beer at a local supermarket. Now, that video has gone viral, and I think netizens have identified the man and has identified his children as well, and I think targeted his children, which we all agree has crossed a line. But the question we were asking this morning is, what are people really angry about, right? And what has caused this video to go viral? I'm taking a look at some of the messages coming in this morning. Kevin Young says that people are feeling insecure. That's why everyone is being defensive. And this applies both to boomies and non-boomies, let alone there's the debate of ICERD going on among politicians. Politicians don't solve problems, but just make people emotional. There you go.
Also, we have a tweet from Roland Tan who says that, "I think the attack on the kids started due to the hypocrisy of the guy as he sends his kids to a Chinese school. I don't condone this, but I understand."
Oh, I mean, we haven't yet verified whether he actually sends his kids to a Chinese school, but this is interesting. This is an interesting new fact for me.
Right. Well, so obviously, you know, at the heart of the matter is the perceived disparity, either through a racial lens or socioeconomic lens. You know, you've got Ramli Sirap commenting in, also Ivan, I believe. So plenty of tweets and WhatsApps there. I'll let you go through, Mel, because I don't even have the time to read through all of those, right? But then, you know, like you see this, you know, and so there's this perceived insecurity. How they actually vent it, be it, you know, because of racial differences or, you know, again, socioeconomic differences, I think that is the key here, right? So, and how we choose to respond, I think that has to be closely watched as well, because you don't want to stoop down to their levels as well.
That's right, exactly. You know, you don't want to, I guess, you know, exactly right, stoop down to that level. I want to mention Bob from PD, and he brought up an interesting point on WhatsApp, saying that regarding the video of the bully and the beer promoter, now, he referenced my comments about how such trivial matters can quickly escalate and cause a flare-up. And he says that's exactly why the government of old tried to limit such discourse. But such discourse is the only way for us to mature as a society. That is exactly true. I completely agree. And I think that, you know, when we, I guess, fall into that trap of having these types of fights, right? Picking racial fights with each other, that's when governments can use that justification. Oh, you know, this is where we're going to bar free speech because society cannot handle it. But if we keep having these conversations and if we don't stoop to that level, as you mentioned, Han, then there's really no excuse. We need to keep having these conversations. We need to be able to talk about why that man pulled out the phone and recorded what he said to that young woman, and why everyone feels so riled up about it. I think we need to talk about the reasons, the real reasons why.
Well, okay, while I agree with you, right, I think I'd like to add some nuance to that, though. But I think there has to be some inherent level of maturity or some capacity to even have those discussions before those discussions are engaged in, though. You know, because I've worked in places before where one particular race, you know, dominated, and, you know, it's very hard to have those those discussions there, especially as a minority, a racial minority working in that organization, right? Mm. So, you know, while BFM leads the way there, you know, we have these discussions on air. I wonder if we are in that bubble as opposed to, you know, being able to actually have this discussion in other languages and in other geographical parts of the country.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is a conversation Malays need to have with themselves as well. All right, well, we're going to have more of this discussion. We're going to continue the conversation about race and religion after the 7 o'clock news bulletin, because we're all about those difficult conversations. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.